Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
If you're doing as well as you look, you're all right. You know, it's so great to be able to serve the God that we serve, to know the God that we know, to realize the love that He has for each of us, and then for Him to put us in a body that can love one another, pray for our faults together rather than criticize and condemn, and to serve God together. What a wonderful thing God has given to our little congregation, you guys right here. And it's a pleasure. I'm sure everyone that ever comes here to preach, to share, to just set in the service, can just sense how God is working with all of us here. So God is good. But I had a really good message, I thought. but the Lord wanted to change it. I believe He wanted to change it up a little bit. It all kind of goes together. So I kind of got to the point where, Lord, how do I change or present, or what do you want to do with these? So how about we just start with the change, and then if it doesn't work out any time today for the message that I prepared before, we could do it next week. Amen. So let's just let the Holy Spirit lead however He wants, and it'll be good if we let Him do it. Amen. So, Father, I pray right now that I will let You do it, that I won't get in Your way. Father, that I'd present Your word, what You want to share, the hope and the life in Your word, what it means to us and how it can change our lives, and will if we let it. So, Lord, help us to put our trust totally in You, not in what we see in the world and what happens to this election and what goes on afterwards. Lord, that we put our hope and our trust in You, and we will walk with You and serve You. So, Lord, thank You for the great privilege that You've given all of us, and the faith, Lord, that we can have, that we can stand on Your word, knowing that You have our best at hand. So, Lord, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your word. And thank You for Your Holy Spirit who leads us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I think you all realize, probably better than me, that we're in the middle of a storm right now. We don't really know what's going to happen, other than we know we can trust God. And so we just need to learn to be able to stand and to trust. It's kind of like the big storm that hit North Carolina and all the damage that it's done. And yet I know God is taking care of those people down there that really walk with Him or trust Him in everything. And they're recovering. It's not easy, but they're recovering because they know how to trust in the Lord. And the Lord does provide. So I think our part of it too is not to forget them. Continue to pray for them. And at times as we get opportunities and understanding of where maybe to send whatever the Holy Spirit might lead us to do, that we can do that to continue to help these people months, maybe even a year or so afterwards. So it's pretty devastating what went on. But looking at our nation, we're in a mess. Our nation has never been so divided. And there's been so much evil that has taken place, the hatred, you're not allowed to give your opinion, especially if it doesn't agree with who you're talking with, how they can get upset with it. And it just amazes me how people don't know how to vote. I've talked to people, some of them, they don't know. Well, I don't know what to vote for. And it's like, well, we're getting close. Maybe you ought to figure it out. But, and then there's others that don't like either party, so they're not going to vote. And it's like, do you not understand what's going on here? So I believe the Lord wanted me to share some things of what is really going on so that we as Christians can understand and know how to pray about that. See, the nations right now, if you look at it, the nations, our nation and the world is raging against God. Y'all know that? It's a fight against God. That's what this whole election is for us. It's a fight against God. One party doesn't want anything to do with God. They have their own agenda. They want the one world government. They want abortion. They don't want any restrictions on anything that they like or want to do. They don't look at all what maybe God wants. They don't think in morals or in love or in trying to help others. It's me. It's all about what I want. And so the nations are raging against God and against God's people. Folks, that's why we're facing persecution. Other countries have already been facing it for years, giving their lives for it. But here in America, not so much yet. But it's probably coming. Because this world is different, folks. You know, I talk to a lot of people and they're saying, oh, if so-and-so gets in, he'll change everything. And it's like, do you really think so? You know, I hope you're right, but really, do you... When you've got a nation that is raging against God and hates God, do you actually think you can change them? Some of them you can't. They won't even let you talk about God. And we think it's all going to go back to the way it was. Well, I don't think it'll ever go back to the way it was, folks. You need to get ready. Because there's a war against God and God's going to win. I'll guarantee you that. But there's a raging war and we're in the middle of that storm. And there's a lot of bad things that are going to take place. Also, there's a lot of good things. Raging nations. I'm so glad that, you know, we're able to even take the Lord's Supper. You know, maybe we'll get to the point where the Lord's Supper means so much to us. It means a lot to us, it's neat. It's really nice that God, that Jesus died on the cross for me and, you know, and all of that. And I thank God for it. But sometimes I don't get the full understanding and revelation of really what Jesus did and really what it means to all of us and to me. Because if I did, I think I would be a lot different. Amen? Wouldn't you think that? So that's my prayer, is that we would really learn and understand and get revelated understanding of really what Jesus did for us. We know that he took on all of our sins and he died on Calvary's cross. And by his blood, you know, we're forgiven. And he started a brand new covenant, the covenant of grace rather than the covenant of the law. Amen? So that's what he did, but it's like, okay, that's good. You know, it's kind of like if you notice what the title was of my message was a song and no song and dance. Well, the children at that time played the flute and nobody danced. out in the public. And that's what we do. You know, Joyce plays the guitar and we got the piano and Lloyd then on the harmonicas. And it's all good. Sometimes there's a lot of people, it's like, eh, it's good. I felt the anointing this morning, though. Those were perfect songs. Perfect. And sometimes we don't understand what it really was. So it says there, in there, Jesus talking, he says, you know, the children in the marketplace, they played the flute, but no one danced. They kind of mourned things, sad songs they would sing. Nobody wept. What that shows is that most people are not engaged any longer. We're just not engaged. It's like it's all good, but we're not engaged. It's not part of us. You know, bad things can happen to people, and it's like, eh, I'm glad it wasn't me. Our good things happen, and then we're jealous. Well, at least we're kind of engaged, right? But that's the problem. Sometimes we're just not engaged at all with all the things that are going on. Man, we should really be on our knees in prayer, taking opportunity to share with people, to visit with people, to love on people, and share with them things that are going on to try to get them to understand really what God is wanting to do in their life. So anyway, I think this is the greatest time in our generation that has ever taken place or probably ever will take place again, is because we're voting to try to choose the direction for our country with values, with trusting God, with changing the bad and making it good. And then we got the opposition that's totally against that. So we'll see what all goes on. Do you know that they even they made a law or presidential order that this bill, it's a bill that they passed, that they gave the rights to the army to be able to kill citizens. They couldn't do that before, but now they can, just like police officers. And so now they've been doing a lot of activity at the White House, whether you realize that or not. See, there's things going and things are being planned. And the enemy has pulled out all stops. They blatantly cheat in a lot of things. And of course, people are trying to stop that so that we can have a fair election. But let me tell you, the enemy's at work. So a lot of you think I'm getting political. I'll tell you what. If we would have been political probably years ago, we would have some godly men more so in offices that could really do some good for all of us. But no, I can remember when I first became a Christian. It was almost a sin in our church for anyone to even think about running for government. They're nothing but crooks. They just lie and cheat. And you can't be a Christian and run for office. And it's like, how blind, how dumb. Yes, that's all happening in Washington, but that's why we pray for our leaders, isn't it? To keep them from temptation and doing the wrong things, selling their soul for money or for political power or whatever it is. So we're in a storm, we're in a battle. And regardless of what happens to me, I'm going to preach whatever I feel Lord laying on my heart. You know what I mean? I get myself in more trouble that way. But anyway, I feel better by doing it than if I didn't do it. So let me give you this. Most nations and the world, as we said, were anti-God. Now let me share this with you. Do you know why Christians are hated and why they want to persecute us? Not just because we're godly, but you all are in the way. We're all in the way. How do you think we got Roe versus Wade overturned? Christians and prayer. And God honored us. And we took the wonderful privilege, the right, from the left group that they can't just abort their children whenever they feel like it. They want to be able to do it up into birth and probably even after birth. Who knows? They might even go for retroactive. You know, my dad did say to me once when I was a terrible kid. I really didn't feel loved or appreciated. My dad would always say, Jim, I wish you were like the neighbor's kid. I said, well, why don't you trade us? I got tired of hearing about it. Then one day he said to me, I don't remember how old I was. By the way, my dad is gone now, but we had a great relationship afterward. Let me tell you, so you hear some of these bad things, just realize that we're the best of friends later on after I grew up. But he said this to me, he says, Jim, if I'd have known you'd have turned out like this, he said, I would have killed you at birth. But see, that's how we think sometimes. I'm glad as Christians we learn instead of wanting to kill somebody, we want to pray for them. Amen? Isn't that better? All right, so let me give you some scripture. You guys are tired of me ranting and raving. Look at Psalms chapter 2. Verses 1 through 3. 1 through 3. Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And it says there, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kingdoms of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, we're the anointed, by the way, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. See, they feel that we're the blame. We restrain them. So therefore, everyone on the right, they hate us simply because we do put some restraint on them. Can you imagine where we would be if we didn't? For what all they want to do? Folks, it's bad. And so they're very angry and upset with us. And that's why they want to persecute and kill us. That's why they don't have any use for a Christian. Anybody who believes in God. So that's why the nations gather against us, because they're being held back. Now let me share with you a little bit about the rapture of the church. And you all heard about the rapture, right? Hopefully you have. A lot of people don't know maybe when it's going to happen. Well, nobody knows when it's going to happen, but they don't know if it's going to be pre-trib, post, or whatever, or maybe mid. Well, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe it's pre. And this scripture kind of bears witness to what I'm believing. Okay? Y'all with me? I see people kind of looking at me like, you know, So anyway, maybe you'll understand it better after this. So let's talk a little bit. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 7. Well, we can look at 6 as well. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 6 says, "And now you know what is restraining, something's restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time." Something's being, and that's the Antichrist, is being restrained right now. He's alive and well, by the way, in the world today. I really believe that. He's alive and well, but he's being restrained. And he's not been introduced yet, but he will be. Verse 7, it says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains," now who's he talking there? Now restrains. Talking about the Holy Spirit. And us, how the Holy Spirit is working through us. "Who now restrains, and he and we will do so until he is taken out of the way." Folks, one day the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out. When it's all over, said and done, and God is determined to just judge the world, he's going to take us out. We go with the Holy Spirit, because we'll never make it without the Holy Spirit. We'll never make it. We have a hard time sometimes, where are we at, making it with the Holy Spirit. Although it's not his weakness, sometimes it's my weakness. But anyway, he'll be taken out of the way. And then it says in verse 8, the lawless one will be revealed. So folks, you won't know as a Christian, you will not know who the Antichrist is. You may wonder, you may have some concepts of who it might be, but you won't know, because he won't be revealed until we're gone. See, this is the rapture of the church. Do you know after Revelation chapter 3 that the church is no longer mentioned in Revelation? First three chapters talks all about the church and they need to repent in this and they're doing that wrong, and if they don't change, their candlestick will be removed. By the way, candlestick and that being removed, not all Christians are going to meet the rapture. And I always thought that being a Christian, that's an automatic. It's not. Just ponder that a little bit. That scares me. I always want to check my heart. God, am I doing what's right? Am I following you? Am I trusting you? Lord, I don't want to be one that's left behind. And so I'm constantly looking at myself. Because now I know, and I realize that I'm not trying to build any fear in us. What I'm trying to do, and I think what the Lord wants to do is, hey, my beloved, you need to start looking and judging things. You know, the word says that if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. Amen? And that's what the Lord's saying. He says, hey, wake up. I want to take all of you. But if you sleep and slumber and you run out of oil, you're going to be left behind. And I don't want any of you left behind. Doesn't mean that you'd be lost, but I want to tell you, you're going to have to die for Jesus. Now, if you would, turn to Acts with me, Acts chapter 4. Because this goes into, I think, a lot of what we do with the Lord's Supper, why it's so important. Why we need it, why we do it. Acts chapter 4. I want to start with verse, I think, 23. My Bible is showing a heading of praying for boldness. Folks, we need boldness. And it says there, and being let go, they went to their own companies and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. See, this was just a little thing. It was really a great thing. Remember when Peter and John were going to the temple? And there was this man, this beggar that was put there, and he was looking for alms from them. And Peter and John looked at him. And then Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, but he said, what I do have. Folks, do y'all realize how much you do have? Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you do have. Man, you got Jesus in you. You got the Holy Spirit leading you. Peter said, I don't have this worldly stuff that you want and what you're asking for. But he says, what I do have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up. And he couldn't walk before, totally crippled. And now he's leaping and just excited and went with the disciples into the temple. And all the people were gathering around. Folks, that's why a lot of miracles happen. So people realize, hey, God is doing something. There's anointing. How about last Sunday when we were praying here? Nobody is coming up. And then you were praying for the men, which I loved you doing that. Man, we got such strong women. Men, I want to tell you, we need to get busy, try to catch up to them. Y'all know that? We got a lot of good men here. But it's kind of like sometimes the men just say, oh, well, let the women do it. But God said, no, men, you need to wake up. See, we're supposed to be the strength for our women. Amen? We've got a huge responsibility. So they go in. So the chief priest said to them, so when they heard that they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, now this is the company they went back to. And they're telling them all that the elders had done, how they threatened them, just because they healed a man and then were sharing Jesus. Well, that's the way the world is today. They don't want you preaching or teaching. You could get arrested on the street at different times, depending on the officers, maybe that came to see about what was going on. But see, people don't like to hear about Jesus. They don't want anything to do with that. So anyway, they went back to their company and they're sharing the threats that they got. So in 24, it says, so when they heard that they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is within them. Who by the mouth of your servant David have said, this is what we read in Psalms chapter 2. It says, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the world took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathering together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to do. Folks, Jesus gave his life. It wasn't taken. God sent him for a task to do, and that was to suffer and die for our sins, for the new covenant, so that we will no longer be pushed aside, but that now we can go straight to the Father. Amen? So it was God's purpose in all of this. The world thinks they did it, but they didn't. God allowed it. So whatever is allowed during this election, folks, realize God's up to something and we're part of it. Amen? So it doesn't have to be our way. I want it God's way. Verse 29. Now the Lord look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your Holy Spirit, our Holy Servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Folks, this is what we need. As I was starting to say, and I interrupted myself, but what I was trying to say is that here we are, you were praying for the men, and then Kathy was there, and the Lord impressed upon me to ask her, Kathy, is this your time? The Lord, is this your time with the Lord? And she said, yes. I said, then come on, let's pray. And so she came up, we prayed. I'm not for sure if she knew what she was exactly doing, but it's a start, and I'm continuing to work with them. But anyway, what happened is, since we don't have a lot of room up here, we blocked the exit. And people came down, and they had to join us in prayer. So they did. And I thought, God, you got such a way to do things. You are so good. So we had a great prayer meeting here, anointing people with oil and everything, God moving. Man, I'm just so amazed at how God does what he does. But anyway, we need to pray. When signs and wonders happen, it's kind of like, not to make us feel good, or maybe just to get someone else healed, which all of that is important, but it actually opens up a time to where God can move in somebody, in other people's lives. You see, God knows how to do things far better and more amazing than whatever we could ever ask or perceive and expect to happen. Amen? Man, I was at the prison, and I preached a message. Of course, it was really changed on pride. And this one guy was in the back, and he was the leader of the prison group. His name is Clay. I think of Dirt. Now I'm going, okay, Dirt, Clay. There you go. So I'm preaching, and then Clay's in the back, and he's got, you know, I got a problem. And I'm like, yeah, we know. So I go on and preach, and I'm done. Well, then he comes up to me, and he says, Jim, he said, you know why I try so hard to get rid of that. And I know it's pride, and I have such anger. And he says, I can't forgive. I try, and I can't. And he's just all frustrated. And when he was talking to me, a word came to me. See how God works? I mean, I don't know what to do with this guy, you know. What am I going to tell him? But the Lord said, and he just said a word, love. That's all he said, love. I'm like, okay, so he's talking. Finally, he stopped, and I said, Clay, listen to me. I said, you're trying so hard to be obedient to God because you really love God and you want to do what's right, and you know how important it is to forgive, that if you don't forgive, God can't forgive you. I said, you understand all that, so you're trying to comply, but the enemy's keeping you from doing it right now. And I said, you feel so weak and incompetent. And you're just upset with the whole thing. I said, let me tell you this. I said, while you were talking to me, the Lord gave me a word for you. And it was, you need to just love, learn to love God. He doesn't want you to work on this other stuff yet. He wants you to submit to Him in love. He wants you to concentrate on loving Him. And then the Lord gave me a scripture. And the scripture says this, if I can remember it now. If you love God, if you love the Lord, you will keep His commandments. Right? Isn't that what it says? So I'm like, wow, Lord, this has fallen in place. So I told Him. And He kind of looked at me, and then He quoted some scripture. And then I said, how about 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about love never fails? And you could see the expression of His face just change. Pretty soon He's smiling, and He says, that's why God has you come up here, isn't it? So He said, you just keep coming. He said, you're giving some good stuff. And then He walked away just high and praising the Lord. So I want to go back this Thursday just to see where He's at with that. But folks, that's what I'm telling you. This is the God we serve. This is the God we serve. Don't worry about all this. We do our part in this election, but don't get caught up in all this junk. Let God have His way, whichever way it goes. What is it, Romans 13 that talks about that? God is the one that appoints all authority and all the offices. Folks, let's just be Christians and let God be God. Amen? Now turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is Paul speaking, and he says, for I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. Folks, this is almost like our election. His is on the same night. We've only got a couple days to wait. He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same manner also He took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant, My blood. He said, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till I come. So folks, that's why we take the Lord's Supper, and why God blesses it so, but that we need to have a true understanding of all the bad that's taking place. But we are to partake of the good that has taken place and continues to take place in our lives. Amen? Man, we've got God. What about those on the left? They have the devil. Don't realize that? Who they're following? Who's out to kill, steal, and destroy them? But we're the promised people. We're the anointed. We have the Lord, and now we partake of all that He's done. I pray that it has a greater meaning in your life, in your heart, of what we're actually doing here and why we're remembering. He wants us to remember what I've done for you and what this all means. You know, we need to kind of judge our hearts, and if we've got any bitterness or we're upset of how people think and how they vote and what they do, get rid of it. It's not our part. We do our part. Let God do the rest. Amen? Now, those that are going to help me serve the Lord's Supper, would you want to come forward, please?